Philippians chapter 3, and beginning in verse 1, says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision," or the cutters. "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to subdue all things to Himself." Now, this is a passage of Scripture that would do all of us well to read every day, because we are all by nature those that would rely upon the flesh. Now, we know enough, having studied the Scriptures, to know that we should not rely upon the flesh. I mean, if I asked anybody, "Should you rely upon the flesh?" we'd all say no. We all know that. But that's not the problem we have. Our problem is not in not knowing what the Lord requires. Our problem is, because of the nature that we have, is in actually not having confidence in the flesh. Because it is part of the fleshly nature to have confidence in itself. Most especially when it comes to spiritual things. I mean, we've got, the Lord gave us a mind, we think, we say. We're not stupid. We can figure it out. We know what we need to know. We've got this all in the right way. Now you would think that such a thing as the circumcision of the flesh would not even be a problem among those who believed in the grace of God. Having sat under the ministry of the Apostle Paul, who preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified, you'd think such an issue as that would never come up. But the reason that it did come up was because of the natural tendency of men to rely in the flesh. Now, those Jews that became believers, they knew what Paul said, and they, in a measure, I suppose, believed it. But many of them evidently resorted back to some confidence in the flesh, because when he says here, beware of the concision, he's talking about, he said that word means cutters. It means beware of those that cut the flesh. Or beware of those that say you must be circumcised. Now there certainly was nothing wrong with circumcision. And Paul was not preaching against circumcision as a surgical technique or surgical procedure. Certainly nothing to be condemned about that, but the thing he was preaching against were those who were preaching that other men must be circumcised in order to be obedient to the Lord, or had some confidence that because they were circumcised, that this gave them some place of standing with the Lord. Now, it doesn't have to be something as radical as circumcision, because the flesh will find any little thing that it possibly can to set it apart from something else and give it some place to glory. Whether it be a point of doctrine or it doesn't really make any difference what it is. If the flesh can find a place to glory, you can be sure that it will capitalize on it. And every one of us will, if left to ourselves, be in that same situation. And so Paul warns them. He said, to write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. He wasn't ashamed to preach the same things over and over to them, because he knew this was the best thing. Now, see, you'd think, and I used to think this, that what God's people need to do, you know, you need to, you teach them all how to be saved, and then you just move on and you just get better and better, and you all just, you know, start being more like Christ, and you all, everybody's just doing the things they're supposed to do and walking in obedience, and that's how it all works out. That's how I used to think before I became acquainted with what I was by nature. And then I understood exactly, to some extent at least, what Paul said when he said, not as though I had already attained. Now we need, it's necessary for us to continually remind ourselves of the same things over and over again, because we have an innate tendency to move away from the very simplest of truths and to rely upon the flesh. And our flesh is subtle, and it has learned our weaknesses over the years, and so it knows just right where to hit us and how to give us a little jolt so that we find some place of pride or something wherein we rely in apart from Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul said, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. I heard about a fellow one time. He said he was so mean that he had to hold a gun on himself when he was shaving, keeping from cutting his own throat. And that was, That's really, now that's funny in a way to think about it, but that's exactly how we are. I mean, that's exactly how we are. We would destroy ourselves if it was not that God, who's rich in mercy, did keep us from it. Because the flesh likes to tell us we can rely on it a little bit. We know we can't rely on a lot, but we can rely on a little bit. But he said we have no confidence in the flesh. We see ourselves in the mirror and we say, you're a liar, you're a cheat, and you will bring me away from Christ today if the Lord doesn't preserve me from it. Now see, that's having no confidence in the flesh. It's taking nothing for granted. It's not saying, oh well, you know, I don't need anything today. Lord, I can make it on my own. No, we have no confidence in the flesh. Now, Paul could have had confidence in the flesh, could he not? I mean, if you were going by religious pedigrees, he had it. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. If the church doors was open, I was there. I was there at prayer meeting. I was there at visitation. I sang in the choir. I preached. I taught Sunday school. He says, I did everything that you could possibly do. I was right there in the midst of it. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Now the Pharisees, on the one hand, have gotten a bad rap. Now, what I mean by that is a lot of times people think of the Pharisees as being wicked men running around doing wicked stuff. Now, they were wicked men, don't get me wrong, and because the Lord showed, but the wickedness that they were was not an outward wickedness. In other words, if you'd have seen one of them, you wouldn't have thought he was wicked. That's why his disciples were just amazed when he told them the things that he did about the Pharisees. Because these were the upright pillars of the community. They were the people whom you could rely on. If you needed something done for the community or whatever, these were the men you went to. They were the ones who were sitting on the front row at church. They were the ones that were doing the right things. They weren't going behind closed doors and doing things. Their hypocrisy was not in morality. Their hypocrisy was that they had confidence in their own selves, and they did not see themselves to be sinners because they thought themselves to be righteous men. That was their hypocrisy. Their hypocrisy was not that they did not pray, that they did not study the Scripture, that they did not do many righteous deeds. That was not their problem. And so Paul says, as touching the law, I was a Pharisee. The Pharisees were known as men who kept the law. They did it to the jot and tittle, insofar as men can do that sort of thing. But listen to what he said. But what things were gain to me, those things that I thought were valuable, he said, all of those things, he said, I counted as nothing. I counted it as loss. I just cast it away. In other words, he didn't say, I counted up and said, oh, woe is me, I've lost these things. No, he said, I counted it as being nothing. He said, it's nothing. I'm moving on. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things. Not just what I was religiously, but all things. It doesn't matter what it is, he said. It doesn't matter that I'm walking faithfully, preaching the gospel day by day. He said, I count all things in the same fashion. They don't mean anything for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He said, that's the thing that I count as value. That's what I want. nothing else matters. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And I lay awake at night and think about how much I've sacrificed for the Lord. Now what did he say? He said, it don't matter to me what I've lost. He said, it doesn't make any difference. He said, because I count all those things as dung. Now we all know what dung is. And there's many names for dung. But dung is dung. I mean, it doesn't make a difference what name you call it. By all people in all languages, if you speak about dung, they know what that is. There's no value in that. I've never known of anybody that went around collecting it, have you? Well, there are, but I'm speaking about in the sense that they wanted to put it on display. I mean, it does have its uses, of course, but it's not a thing that we're going to display in polite company. He said, I count. That's how I count it. The lowest of the low. I mean, that's the last thing on earth that a man would place value in. And he said, that's what I count all things that would in any measure prevent me from the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law. Now that's where he wanted to be found, was in Christ, not having his own righteousness. Now a lot of people want to be found in Christ with their own righteousness. Isn't that a more comfortable place to be? We're going to be in Christ and we're going to actually be, we're going to be those that are obedient. We're going to be obedient. Now, obedience is a good thing. I hope you have a desire to be obedient. But the last thing on earth that I would ever want is for you to think that somehow your obedience can be compared in any fashion to the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ, or that in some measure your obedience could somehow make you more pleasant unto the Lord, or cause you to earn some special favor in His sight. That's what he says here. I want to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness. Because in reality, if a man is in Christ, he cannot have his own righteousness. Because one rules out the other. And apart from having all our righteousness in Christ, we can have none. This is the problem that the Pharisees had. The problem with the Jews is they went about to establish their own righteousness. They had something that they could find a little bit of comfort and help in. But he said, to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, what is faith? Faith is the gift of God. It's the faith of Christ, is what he said. It's through the faith of Christ. It's not through our own faith. It's not through the faith of the flesh. It's not that where when we tell people, oh, you need to believe. No, you see, the faith of Christ is that which comes to a man and he can't do anything else. See, when a man's been given the faith of Christ, he can't do anything else but believe. It's not a matter of how much does he believe. It's a matter of that he does believe. You see, when that woman who had the daughter who was possessed by a demon, and she came to the Lord and she said, Lord, heal my daughter. And she was a Canaanite woman. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What are you doing coming in here? She said, that's a true thing. He said, well, you think it's good to take the food that's made for the children and give it to the dogs? She said, no, it's not a good thing, but Lord, even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And the Lord said, hey, great is this woman's faith. Why? Because she believed that He was the one, the only one that could do her any good. And she said, I believe. Lord, help my daughter. And you see, the Lord said that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. But He said, now the violent take the kingdom by force. Now what did He mean? He meant that the faith that He gives to His people is that which causes them to tenaciously seek after Him. And they cannot be turned aside. But they must have Him and Him alone and that righteousness which they want and which they will not be satisfied with any less is His righteousness. And this is what Paul speaks about here. He said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of Christ. He said that I might win Christ. If I might win Christ. Now, how can you win Christ? You can't win it like you win a race, can you? But yet, the tenacity, the faith of Christ causes a man to run the race with the desire to win the race, does it not? I mean, will we be satisfied to come in second place? No, because you see, there's only one winning place. There's only one place that a man can be declared the winner. And that's in Christ. And we want to win Christ. We want to be in Him. We don't want to come up dragging up the end and saying, well, we knew some things about Christ. We went to church. We did most of the stuff the preacher talked about. No, I want to win Christ. He says, I want to be found in Him. I won't be satisfied with anything less. I can't be. Lord, Thou hast the words of eternal life, like Peter said. Will You also go away? Every day you need to ask yourself that question. Will You also go away? Is today the day that you will deny Christ? He said, examine yourselves to see if you be in the faith. That's what Paul's talking about here. He said, I run in this race. He said, I don't count myself to have apprehended. I haven't arrived any place. I can't say, oh, brother, yeah, I'm saved. You know, it's amazing. You can run up and down the road and you can ask just about anybody else, yeah, brother, I'm saved. Paul said, I don't count myself to have apprehended. I don't count myself to have arrived. But he said, here's the one thing that I am, by the grace of God, pressing to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I want to win Christ. I don't want to come up short. I don't want to be found in any other place than the perfect righteousness of Christ. I don't want to be found some little old place over here where I'm trusting in something other than Christ, or I'm satisfied with something less than Christ. It's Christ or nothing. That's what he said. I press toward the mark. Let us as many as be perfect, or that is, be of a mature mind, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. May the Lord give us such a mind. Because he says, I've told you often, I tell you now even weeping, that there are many enemies of the cross of Christ. And I'm telling you, a man's an enemy of the cross of Christ that will tell you to trust anything other than the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Whether it be baptism, whether it be some kind of faith that you can work up, whether it be some kind of obedient task that you can perform or whatever it is, if a man comes telling you that it's anything other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified, flee. That's what he says. I'm telling you. He says, I told you often. He said, I'm begging you to listen to me. He said, I tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Nothing but dung. It's the cross of Christ, and everything else is dung. I mean, there's just nothing else. It's the cross of Christ, and all else is dung. That's what Paul said. What a blessed hope is given to the children of God. Our dear brethren, it's not by the power of the flesh that a man counts all things but loss, that he might win Christ. It is the work of the Spirit of God. Anything less is not the work of the Spirit of God. There's all sorts of religion with which men are perfectly satisfied. They certainly don't want to hear somebody tell them that all their glittering things are done. But those who've been taught by the Spirit of God to know the righteousness of Christ cannot see it in any other fashion. May the Lord help us.